name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen?
Amen.
That really could be my whole homily. It's the most truth I've spoken all week. Jesus Christ is Lord. And he's not Lord, not only Lord because he walks on water or raises the dead or heals the blind. He is Lord because he and the Father are one. And this may be hard for some of us to see, right? It was hard for Philip to understand. He says, Lord, show us the Father and we will be satisfied. And Jesus says, if you have seen me, you've already seen the Father because the Father and I are one. How can Philip not understand this? How can the disciples not understand what Jesus was doing? I mean, they were with him for 3 years. They heard the teaching firsthand. How can they not recognize him in relation to his Father? And then it makes you think, how many Catholics have been going to Mass every Sunday for years and not know the Lord? See, if we look at Christ and find a heart to see the Father, it is our eyes, it is our hearts that need adjusting, not him. You know, every human being at some point in their life has asked themselves these three questions. Number one, what should I do with my life? What is the right path? Number two, what is the truth? And you know, some of us get into conspiracy theories, trying to seek the truth. Some of us read philosophers. You know, Aristotle said, every human being in his innermost heart desires to know. We are always seeking knowledge. And the third thing we ask ourselves, how can I get the most out of my life? Right path, knowledge, and living my life to the fullest. And Jesus offers all three when he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And this is what differentiates Jesus from all other religious leaders. This is what differentiates Christianity from all other religions. Other religions teach a way. Jesus says, I am the way. Other religions want to take you to a truth, whatever that truth may be. Jesus says, I am the truth. But there is still a disconnect. Like, why was there a disconnect between the disciples and our Lord? And why is there a disconnect between us and the Lord? I think it all comes down to faith. Faith has power, my brothers and sisters. I was watching an interview with Jordan Peterson the other day, and they asked him, if you can have any superpower in the world, what would it be? And his answer was faith. And they all laughed at him. Faith, what are you going to do with faith? And his reply was, I can move mountains. Because if we have the faith of a mustard seed, the promise of the gospel is we can move mountains. But there seems to me that there are two different types of faith. I think we have enough faith to believe that God is who he says he is, but we have a hard time believing what he can do in our lives. Like, everyone in here agrees that Jesus is Lord. I think we all believe that he is the Lord of the universe, but we have a hard time believing that he is the Lord of my life, that he can be the Lord of our life. One type of faith we're very comfortable with. The other one is a little harder. Because in the second type of faith, we have to give up control. We have to allow God to take control of our life. And that's not an easy thing to do. Probably the hardest thing to do as a Christian, to allow God to take control of our life. We may give him parts of it, right? Like, there are a lot of people who don't think about the Lord when times are good. But when times get bad, they run to the chapel. And there are a lot of people who are the complete opposite. They pray, they love the Lord, they serve him. And when something bad happens in their life, Lord, how could you allow this to happen to me? I'm your faithful servant. I'm your son. I'm your daughter. How can this happen to me? Some love him in the good. Others love him in the bad. How many of us love him no matter what? That no matter what happens, he is the Lord of the universe, but most importantly, he is the Lord of my life. To give him reign over our entire life and not just part of it. And if we're able to do this, guys, if we're able to give Lord control of our life and allow him to work in our lives, this is what verse 12 of today's reading says. This is the promise that Jesus gives us if we allow him control over our life. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these he will do. Think about this. Greater works than what Jesus did? Jesus raised people from the dead. He cured the sick. He had authority over nature when he walked on water or calmed the storm or cursed the fig tree. And he says, you can do greater works than these. How is this possible? How can Jesus make such a promise? And the lives of the saints cry out the confirmation of this promise, because we see this promise lived out in their lives. And they do none of this by their own power, but by the power of the Holy Spirit, because they've allowed him to take control of their life. Jesus raised people from the dead, right? There was a story of St. John Bosco. And if you guys that don't know St. John Bosco, he had an oratory for young men who had nowhere to go, who were orphans. He created an oratory for them. So one of those young boys, a 15-year-old, his name was Charles, and he was dying. And he wanted to talk to St. John Bosco. He wanted to make his last confession, get the anointing of the sick from St. John Bosco. But St. John Bosco was out of town that day. So they called for another priest. Little Charles made his confession, and he passed away. The next day, St. John Bosco comes from out of town. He goes into the room. He lays his hand on little Charles and say, in the name of Jesus, I command you to rise. And the boy came back to life. And he says, Father, when I was dead, I had this vision of all these demons around me. You see, that priest that they sent me, I didn't know him that well. I was kind of scared, so I didn't tell him all my sins. And as these demons were coming to get me, I heard your voice, in the name of Jesus, rise. So St. John Bosco heard this confession. And after hearing this confession, he says, Habibi, do you want to go to heaven or do you want to stay here? So his eyes get teary. You know, he had teary eyes. He said, I want to go to heaven. So he laid back down, closed his eyes, and died. This is the power of the Holy Spirit. You will do greater things than these. A promise of the gospel fulfilled in the lives of the saints. Jesus was able to calm the storms, right? He tells us, if we have the faith of a mustard seed, you can tell a tree to go under the ocean and tell it to grow, and it will obey you. If you just have a little bit of faith. He had authority over nature, and he promised us that we will do greater things than he. There was another story of this little town in Italy. This town had a problem of this wolf. This wolf will come in, eat their livestock. Some people went, tried to kill him because he was ruining their lives. He killed 4 people. Everyone is scared. Everyone is walking around with a weapon. They're not allowing their children to go outside to play. Everyone is scared of this little wolf. But they heard that St. Francis to speak to animals. So they called for St. Francis. St. Francis went there. He talked to the wolf. And the wolf told him that, listen, I was part of a pack. I got hurt. I can't chase deer or anything else, so I'm going after the sheep because they're a lot easier to catch. So St. Francis told him, if everyone in the town leaves you food outside, would you stop attacking them? And the wolf said, yeah. And they fell in love with this wolf. He became the town pet. Everyone loved him. Everyone could walk freely. They would go and pet him. They would even brag about him to other towns. We have this special wolf. They called him Brother Wolf. They loved this wolf. 2 years later, that wolf passed away, and the whole town was sad. You will do greater things than these. A promise of the gospel fulfilled in the lives of the saints. Jesus healed many people and performed many miracles. I'm not going to tell you a story of a saint or a story of the past, because I can almost guarantee you, all, if not most of you, all of you in here have seen Jesus work in your life, have seen some type of miracle in your life. If not in your life, maybe in the life of somebody you know. Because Jesus still heals. Jesus still performs miracles. Jesus still wants to work in your lives. And he tells you, you will do greater things than these. A promise of the gospel working in your life. He's calling you to do it. See, one thing that I always preach about is that our life as Christians should look different than the rest of the world. and that God wants to do great things in your life, and not for your own sake. If for any moment you think this is for you, he's going to stop working. This is to glorify God, to build up the kingdom of heaven. You, in the power of the Holy Spirit, can do greater things than these. Miracles are great. Healings are great. Raising the dead are great. Talking to animals would be pretty cool, right? How cool would that be to talk to your dog? He can tell you when he wants to go outside, right? How cool would that be? But all these things are good, guys. But the greatest miracle a human being can do is to love. To love others. It's what Christ did. It's what Christians are called to do. And some of you might be thinking, Abuna, what kind of miracle is this? How can loving each other be a miracle? Well, how many of us have a hard time doing it? If it's not by the grace of God, how many of us have a hard time loving each other? Especially if it's the mark of a Christian, right? They will know we are Christians by what? Not the healings, not the raising the dead, not the preaching. They will know we are Christians by our love. It's when the natural becomes supernatural and the supernatural becomes natural. If you want to be saints, my brothers and sisters, if you want to be a follower, a true follower of Jesus Christ in every sense of the word, love like he did. Amen?